Hi, everyone. This is Judy Warner with Altium's On Track podcast. Welcome back. Once again, I have another incredible guest to speak with us today. But before we get started, please follow or please connect with me on LinkedIn. I try to share a lot of things relative to engineering and PCB design. And on Twitter, I'm at Altium Judy. And Altium is on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And if you'd please subscribe and give us some comments so we know what you'd like to hear more about, that would be great. So today, again, we have a great guest, which is David Carmody of San Diego PCB, who is now, and David has a new title now. He is the division manager, and he also is a CID. So, David, welcome, and thank you for joining me and here at Altium today. So, we've known each other for a little while, and I've had the benefit of being over at San Diego PCB and looking over your shoulder to some pretty wild, complicated designs. Okay. So, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day, you know, from the perspective of design bureaus and the kind of work that you see.
I was going to say, I do get a lot of different designs, a bunch of varied designs. So we see a lot of military application anymore. We see a lot of new technology, wearable technologies, and things like that as well. It is pretty much all over the map, though. I mean, we get a little bit of anything and everything just because of the nature of the service entity. A lot of the more upscale, so to speak, designs are you know, the real nanotechnology sort of stuff where we're cramming a ton of little parts into a board that's, you know, less than a half a square inch total in size.
That's crazy.
Or we're packing everything into a big housing that has to get heat out somehow because, I mean, we're sending up high output microprocessors into space and there's no airflow, so we need to get heat out in other ways. So
right.
there's a lot of lot of that sort of stuff that we do get to see and play with and learn from as well. So.
Right. I think San Diego's kind of a neat place to work too because there is a lot of defense here.
There is.
And there's also Qualcomm and some telecom and, you know, even in our local area, although I'm sure you see work from all over the country.
We do.
We also have kind of some neat things right here in our own backyard.
Oh, yeah.
So, across that variety, what would you say some of your more memorable designs would be?
I was going to say, we do have some telecom stuff that's gone on, and those are fun boards just because they've got big processors on them and lots of in and out high-speed lines, things like that. Most memorable for me personally would probably be a SpaceX design. I was able to design the development board for the Dragon 2, which is what they're...
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, was able to
do that. We're not worthy!
So, no, it had...
You mean the Dragon Heavy that they just launched?
Or the second
Falcon that ever went up?
Yeah, the Dragon 2, which is the capsule that they hope to take to Mars one day.
Oh!
So that one, I did the development board for that. So it's just basically a big processor board with a lot of RF communications on it and things like that. And they're breaking out all the other boards from that. So that was a fun project. I got to be a part of that. Was really cool.
So. I know. I sold some RF boards to them and got to go through that facility a few times. So I'm like a weirdo SpaceX geek. And then we also sponsor the Hyperloop pod teams for universities.
Yes.
So Ben, that's helping us here with recording this, he and I got to go up and hang out at SpaceX.
Yeah, I saw some of those pictures and
see
and
them do that. So I'm kind of, so sorry for being so weird, but I'm kind of a SpaceX geek. So,
yeah, it's been fun. We do have a couple of space contracts. We've worked directly with NASA and MIT and also with Space Micro. So we've definitely learned our way around the Class 3A specifications and things like that. We know that
not
inside and out
stuff.
Pretty well.
Really dense stuff. So you talked a little bit about the nanotechnology. Is that where you sort of see the bleeding edge going? Like, what are the most challenging designs?
I was going to say the packaging is actually changing quite a bit. We're seeing some things that the packaging is doing that's, well, quite frankly, I'm not terribly happy with, because it takes away some of our place and route. But things like package on packages is coming around.
Right.
And that's really cool technology. I mean, you put down the DSP or the FPGA, whatever it happens to be, mm-hmm. and then you can drop the DDR right on top of it. There's nothing for us to do. It's purely an assembly process at that point.
Wow.
So that stuff is definitely interesting and removing a burden, so to speak, on the designer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then the package size itself just getting smaller and smaller. We're being pushed into HDI technology more and more often.
Right.
0.3 millimeter BGAs are pretty common anymore. 0.4s mm-hmm. are all over the place now.
Right.
I mean, even big ones. So,
wow.
But the 0.3 millimeter BGAs are getting common. I've been able to work on things as small as 0.15 millimeter, though.
Holy
so
cow.
It was a flip chip sort of design, you know, where we're pushing the envelope on that thing. So it was experimental and things like that. I don't
right.
think they actually ever built it.
Right.
So it was costly as all get out. But no, that's the trend we're seeing, is just everyone's pushing the package design more and more all the time.
Something I noticed, I took a peek at, even though I've known you for a while, I took a peek at your LinkedIn profile. I don't know that I'd ever done that. And I like to ask people a lot, how'd you get in this industry? Because most of us didn't start out this way, but we ended up here. So
exactly.
Did you start out there? I noticed you took courses at Palomar College, which is local here, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still do, but they did used to have actually PCB design courses that
they
taught there.
They do. I'm actually on the Palomar Advisory Committee right now,
and
we're
are.
Helping to restructure some of that stuff and try to gen up a little bit more of their student base through there. They've got a pretty good offering right now. I see some ways to make it better, but yeah, it's still active, and it's one of the few places that you can really go for formal education. So it's good that they're keeping it alive, and not just keeping it alive, but updating it right now.
Right, so. And that's kind of where you started out, was it not?
It was.
Or that was just, or did you just join them recently as part of the advisory committee, or did you start learning design there?
I did technically start learning some design there, but it was an accident, really.
See, my point is,
yeah.
We didn't do this on purpose.
No, absolutely not. Basically, I had gone through their program and really gravitated, back then at least, 3D was just emerging. It was all in AutoCAD. There was no such thing as SolidWorks, or it was just coming around. But so I ended up jumping into AutoCAD, 3D mechanical sort of stuff, and, mm-hmm. and did my degree on that. And then got on to nothing but waiting list after waiting list. So at that point, I was talking to a guy that I was working with. He goes, call my brother-in-law. He does something in computers, you know. And I talked to this guy. He was a PCB designer at Intel. I'm actually working with him now, so
wow.
I've been able to recently hire him.
How great is
but,
that?
But yeah, he's working out in our Arizona office. But so he gave me some excellent time. Never actually met him face to face at the time, but he gave me some phone time and told me what to look for and what this industry had to offer, and gave me a couple of places to go after. And I went after both. I ended up getting a offer at both of them, but I liked the smaller business.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that side of things and spent 12 years back at an unnamed company as the design manager.
Yeah,
so.
Right. When not as awesome as San Diego PCB
yes, exactly.
is, of course.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Has it? It hasn't been a year yet. So San Diego PCB, was acquired, actually, by Milwaukee Electronics,
right? It's been
about a
year and four months now, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Time flies.
So Milwaukee is a really capable EMS shop up in, remind me,
in Milwaukee. So,
oh, is it in Milwaukee?
Their primary branch is in Milwaukee.
Okay.
This confuses everyone. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad it's not just me.
Because we have multiple brands out there now.
Okay.
So our Milwaukee Electronics brand has most of our engineering services and the EMS as well there.
Okay.
Up in Canby, Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
That's where we have Screaming Circuits.
And okay.
That is our quick turn prototype house. And they... There is also EMS there as well. Most people don't know that, but the factory shares the floor mm-hmm. for that.
Okay.
So, and then we also have actually, it's also called Milwaukee Electronics, despite that it's in Tecate, Mexico. But they've got a huge building down there, and they're literally clawing the mountain out from behind this building right now to expand
it. I've seen photos of it. It's really quite lovely. At least the photos are. It looks really modern. And
it's a very impressive facility. I was able to visit there. And I had seen pictures of it when the shop floor was only 50% filled. That place is full. And like I said, they're clawing out the mountain now behind them so that they can add on and I think gain about 30% more square footage. So
wow.
We're growing like crazy.
How has that been, that acquisition for your customer and for theirs? There's obviously synergy there between mm-hmm. the two firms. So how has that been for you, the two companies?
The acquisition itself was great. Milwaukee Electronics is a fantastic company to work for. I really enjoy all the people that are there. The synergy has taken some time to get things rolling, but I'm starting to see a little bit of a snowball effect,
mm-hmm.
and so we're starting to pick up some momentum, and to where, say, Screaming Circuits is sending us customers back, and we're sending them customers in,
right.
So and we're starting to get a collaborative database of the customers going right now, so that we can take a more active role on that and really sell to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little bit of crossover, but like I said, it took probably 6 months before I saw even the first crossover. And
right.
then another one happened and then another one. But now we're up to where we're getting about at least one customer a week or something like that that's
okay.
doing some sort of crossover.
Okay.
So it's definitely building up speed, but it's still going to take a little bit more time.
So since our listeners and watchers here are mostly engineers and PCB designers, what do you think the benefit is to kind of collaborating design to EMS? Like, what are the benefits you think that occur there when you're collaborating?
One of the biggest things that's coming out right now is basically a DFM report that we've been doing. It's something that I've been doing for years. Say a customer has their own design team. They want me to be a second set of eyes,
okay.
something like that. I'll go through the design either on a cursory level, if you just want me to look at DFM, DFA sort of issues. Do you want me to look at your circuits? Do you want me to look at this whole thing? Make sure that you placed it correctly. I coined that a stoplight report a long time ago.
Okay.
And basically, it's just we give a nice little green note if it's informative only. This looks good. It was done right. We give a yellow note if, hey, you might want to look into this. You might have some potential issues. Or, hey, this part's hanging off the board edge. You're going to knock it off. You know, this needs a correction before
right.
It goes out. And those are obviously the red items. So customers seem to love that. I mean, it's real easy, real clear cut. They can kind of skim through it. Hit the items that they want, and that is really building up some speed right now with a few customers, because they've had an internal source for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've been using Screaming Circuits forever, but Screaming Circuits is going, okay, you're going into bigger yields. You need to fix these sorts
right.
of items. Let's fix them ahead of time, and that's what we're being utilized to do.
That sounds absolutely incredible, especially now. Because in the marketplace, so many engineers are laying out their own boards,
mm-hmm.
they may or may not have time or access to spend a lot of time with their fabricators or assemblers. So I think
yeah.
to have that sort of oversight would be very welcome. I don't know if that's what's driving it or just having a second set of eyes? What do you think? Or both?
Probably a bit of both. I mean, the engineers obviously get EMI and EM theory. They do that really well. So they always lay out the board well for that. But they aren't necessarily the best packagers. Most PCB designers are puzzlers. So we do the packaging portion real well. That's what we like to play with. Mm-hmm. But if you're a good PCB designer, you're going to know the EM side, and you're also going to know the manufacturing side.
Right.
A lot of the engineers don't know that side
right.
of things. So,
right.
So they don't really look at that. I mean, I've been given boards that were completely routed, and they said, rip out all the routing, because this guy did it with 6 mil vias with a 12 mil pad on an 80 mil thick board. And so it's just wrong all the way around.
Yeah.
And the placement wasn't bad on that board.
Yeah, but the aspect ratio is the killer.
Yeah, guy, and he used decent trace widths. But, I mean, the most problematic piece of the board, and he killed it.
Well, and, like, it's a good thing that companies like Altium and other EDA companies, we make such powerful, great software, mm-hmm. but there's no place in the software that says, no, stop, dummy. You know,
yeah.
you can run DRCs or whatever, but it won't necessarily flag it for DFM if your aspect ratio is off or whatever, unless you've turned those settings on or off,
right.
I imagine, right?
Yes, but you can still improperly program DRCs too.
Right.
You can say, hey, I want 1 mil holes on this board. And
so I've heard you and Mike Creedon say, you know, the design tool is only as good as the designer. So
yes.
it's, you know.
Yeah, you absolutely need that. And I mean, someday in the future, would it be great to see the tools incorporate that sort of stuff? Yes, but at the same time, you got to know who you're fabbing with too.
And you don't want to limit yourself either, because you could potentially create self-limiting things that are really irritating.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I don't think we're going to, I think we're going to just keep giving you powerful tools and you guys have to work it out.
Yeah, because I mean, we can just zoom up and zoom up and hey, that via looks plenty big enough
that
for me.
Looks
I could
good,
put my
right?
fist through it, but it's
right.
not that in reality.
Yeah,
so.
With your whatever.
So, yeah.
50-inch screen.
Exactly.
on your desk or whatever.
That is the packaging thing that I was referring to earlier that is just starting to drive this industry just because big 0.4 millimeter pitch BGA and I'm working with a fabricator that can't quite do the latest and greatest, and all of a sudden that pattern starts to become a challenge or impossible to break out.
Right. So. Yeah. I don't know where this train's going.
I don't know. It'll stop somewhere at some point.
I know. I know. Except it seems like we just keep creating some breakthrough. So I'm keeping my eye on things like additive manufacturing where mm-hmm. we could do a 1 mil controlled trace and
yeah.
pull it off. But, you know, that we're still a ways off or there's no clear front runner.
Yeah, the additive processes are very interesting. Haven't seen anyone really start pulling off a business model out of it yet. The 3D printing technologies is also
yes,
very interesting,
it is.
But you can't print copper, unfortunately. So they can't yet, at least.
Right.
So there's some major hurdles there, too,
yep.
that they have to get through.
It'll be interesting. Well, I wanted to shift gears a little bit because you, along with your colleague, Randy Clemens, mm-hmm. here in San Diego, run a really solid Altium user group here. And for those listeners that don't know, is Altium user groups, they have our name in the title, but we don't run them.
Right.
They're completely run by the users, for the users. They're very democratic, and we just lend support. And it's something that we've been talking a lot about here is that we would like to grow the user community and mm-hmm. help people launch groups. So can you give us a little bit of background and sort of give us the do's and don'ts, maybe of people that are thinking about maybe starting a local users group?
Sure.
What things have worked, what things maybe haven't worked, and, okay. and how do we get more people to launch users groups?
To sign up, yeah. Just for a little background of that, there was a user group that was here for quite a while, was run by Bill Brooks, and it had some traction. It was running for quite a while, and then either the community or whatever started to kind of drop off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Randy and I saw that as a bad thing, basically, and we talked to Altium, talked to a few people here, and then put together a general terms for the group. Randy is always done Google boards, the blog boards uh-huh, and uh-huh. stuff. So he's very good at that. He's got a pretty major Altium tutorial board actually up, and that's out there. so he took some of that and ported it over and turned it into an SD or San Diego Altium user group board. You can just Google that San Diego Altium user group, and you'll find his board. If you sign up, you'll get meeting invites. So it's really that easy. Uh-huh. all of our IP, as it were, uh-huh. is all up there, and I mean fully freely distributable. So anyone can go ahead and take that as a template and start porting it over. Randy would probably help if anyone asked to set up or clone a board. But Altium is really great on this thing. They're really helping us out. They help promote it. You guys are actually doing lunches for us and all of that. So we really, really appreciate all that support. Lunch is a good way to get people out.
Right. So just feed them and they will come.
Exactly. You feed them and they show up. So we started and when we were restarting the group, had a little bit of a slow start, and it's kind of typical. I think we had all of three people show up once, you know, plus the huge group of Altium group and San Diego PCB group, because we host the location. But no, I mean our last attendance was in the 30s somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's doing real well now.
What do you think the benefits are to the users that participate regularly?
One of the big things is we always bring Chris Carlson out for new updates and stuff, so we can see things as they're coming out. He gave us a wonderful tutorial on 18 not long ago, really to help us all dive into it as the interface changed.
I thought
changed.
Randy was going to eat us alive. He came out, he's like, yeah, bring them. Like, he had a slide deck, by
yes.
the way, going, and what about this? But, you know, God bless Chris Carlson, our senior FAE. He addressed most of those things and just said, no, Randy, we just moved it over here.
It's
moved. Over there. And
exactly.
we tackled most of it. But what I really appreciate is that that Chris actually took four things back to our R&D team. And I think that kind of real-time feedback,
mm-hmm.
it helps us make better tools. Like,
right?
And if we make better tools, we sell more software. It's not rocket science, right?
Well,
and right, and you're happier designer, and you're more productive. And so I think it's a win-win, and I think Altium is doing a good job kind of culturally. And that's kind of what it's, so say you were in, I don't know, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And you knew there was a pretty good sized design community. What would you say first steps would be to get something going?
I mean, first of all, probably to clone that board that we've already got.
And we will share this, by the way, in the show notes is okay. SDAUG. And we'll share that if you want to go take a look at it, because Randy has done a good job
yeah.
of kind of making a charter and a board,
yep.
and it would be a good model
in there
to
and anyone's free to use
share.
That charter. So it's a fairly basic charter, but clone that board, start marketing it against that. call Altium. I mean, call them, get
me,
them to
call me.
Exactly.
I will help you.
So get them to put it out in a newsletter or in a blog or
yeah.
something along those lines, so
yeah.
you can start that foot traffic.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, invite your buddies, invite your friends, you know, and get them to do the same. So
yeah. I think I interrupted you there. So you said that Chris came out, and so you get to see the latest and greatest. Chris did a good thing on showing you 8018.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of benefits do you think the users see over time?
I mean, we've already kind of hit on the dynamic lost the word now.
That's okay.
But the dynamic feedback and things
right.
like that. So, I mean, that's obviously great information. But just the user-to-user help is always nice, too.
Right.
I mean, I've had people come in with a laptop and open it up and go, look, I'm struggling over here. What the heck do I need to do? What rule do I need to write in order
right.
to make this thing work?
Right.
So, and we can just basically rub shoulders and, you know, get things moving, get a workaround if it needs it, you
right.
know, just to move it along. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been really impressed since I've been down here for about a year now, and just seeing the group, it's just very active and it seems like a really healthy thing. Yeah, all I get to do is use my card and buy you guys lunch. And if you want a speaker, we'll send it. And if you don't want one, we won't interfere.
Yeah.
So I think that user-to-user and that you guys really get to own it is sort of a
mm-hmm.
powerful model, because it's not like we're going to come down and...
Yeah, Altium doesn't go in. They're not
spring
salesy.
Spring a sales pitch on you, because
exactly.
that could happen.
Yeah.
But we try actually not to do it and
no,
actually
no,
do the
right
thing.
You guys have been fantastic for that.
Well, I wanted to bring this up because you and Randy spoke at Altium Live, and Randy took a little part of his time speaking to talk about the Altium user groups, and I was so surprised. I'm like, well, you can spend your time talking about that if you want, Randy, but I didn't think there would be that much interest, but I happened to pop in the back door just to see how it was
okay.
going. And people were really engaged, and then people came and talked to me after. Like,
good.
I think there's kind of a hunger to do it. I'm just wondering, I just wanted you to share with our listeners, so if people did want to do it, they would see, like, oh, here's some steps to take, because I don't know that maybe we've done a really good job of advertising it, because
okay.
we do want to stay out of the, we want to contribute but not
right.
assert ourselves, you know, into
okay.
an organic users group. So
yeah.
thanks for sharing that part. So
uh-huh. yeah, for the Altium Live, Lawrence Romine asked Randy to do a little bit of a spiel on that, trying
oh,
to market
okay.
it up. And yeah, there were a lot of people from LA that sounded like they were going to be starting their own, or a couple of them, if depending on the demographics or geographics up there. And then there were quite a few out of state as well that sounded like they wanted to start it.
I went
it,
to
so.
A one in Utah, which I guess has been going on for a while.
Oh, nice.
And so I got connected with someone actually at Altium Live, and we ended up connecting, and there was like 80 people there to see Ben Jordan talk about 8018. I'm like,
okay,
wow, 80.
Like,
nice. It was huge. But I think that group has been very active and been around for a long time, so it wasn't like a new thing. And they actually come from Salt Lake and south of there, so it was almost like two combined groups. So anyways, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
About
welcome.
That, any final thoughts or?
Nothing that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today. You're
thank you.
A good sport, and we really appreciate you and San Diego PCB, and thank you for sharing. Oh, one thing I wanted to ask you was if, because the upper end age-wise is starting to kind of age out
oh, yeah.
of the industry, and we're getting new ones coming in. What is one, since you're sort of a veteran designer, what is, say, one or two pieces of advice that you would give to a young designer?
The number one thing I would say is never stop learning. So, I mean, I got into a rut at one point where I wasn't learning, I wasn't staying up on the current trends, things like that. And the job got to be a drag. It really did.
Oh.
Because it's overall, we do the same thing over and over all the time. It's very repetitive. Mm-hmm. But if you're staying up on the latest trends, you always have something else to reach at and something else to go after. You'll always have the latest way to solve something too. So it just makes the job overall a breeze, makes it a lot easier to do day to day, and keeps it fun and interesting. So
very good. Okay, last question.
Okay.
I said that was the last one, but I lied.
That's
so
okay.
My very last question is, I call this part of the podcast Designers After Hours.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's people like you and I know in common, like Bill Brooks, who started the Alta Music Group, mm-hmm. who is the sculptor. I just spoke to Chris Hunrath earlier today, who's a scuba diver.
Oh, okay.
So what do you like to do after hours?
I was going to say, honestly, my side is a little sore right now because I did some martial arts last night. So that's one of my little best kept secrets, so to speak. I've been doing that for a long time. Done Tonsado, got a third degree black belt there, and then migrated over to Kung Fu and have
Remind
a black
me
sash.
To never make you mad.
No.
You're so soft-spoken, and you could kick my butt. Like.
Pat's the one that always bounces that around the office and stuff, but he's honestly the only one I'd ever damage to. So.
That's cool. See? Another interesting after-hour designer. Well, David, thanks again, and I know we'll see you soon. Again, this has been Judy Warner and David Carmody of San Diego PCB. Thank you for joining us today. We'll make sure to share links below, and please visit us again next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.